Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the show. Welcome, everybody, to the second ever episode of the Meeting of the Elders. Richard, what's my name?
Daddy.
Okay, I didn't need that. No, this is AJ and Richard. And for a lot of you, this will be a video version that's been uploaded to Patreon. And if this is the audio version, boy, are you missing a lot. Richard is a little bit further away from his camera than I am, so this has the appearance of me, a giant man, talking to his little pal. But that's okay. We have made room for... Oh, Richard's going closer. All right. So this is Meeting of the Elders. This is our new show where we go through... This is very funny for those watching the video and those not, insanity. So this is our new show where we go through sort of the last few weeks of correspondence of reactions to various episodes.
Yep.
Particularly focusing on the messages we've gotten from our cult elders, which is a tier on patreon.com/cultpopshire, where if you join the cult elders tier for only $15 a month, you get the exclusive right to jump in a little Discord pocket and talk to us there. You can also send in voice messages, which we have some today.
We got some from our listeners.
And Richard, I thought maybe a tradition of the Meeting of the Elders...
This is how we do a BuzzFeed quiz.
No, well, we could if you want to find one, but the first episode, I opened it with sort of a non sequitur about some pop cultural thought I'd had this week, and I've got another one for you. I thought maybe we could open Meeting of the Elders with a general pop cultural idea, and this week I want to ask you. It's never explained in the film, and I'm not saying I don't get it. But what is with the googly eyes and Everything Everywhere All at Once? Because it's such a symbol of the film, but it's never really like made clear what their deal is in the film. I wanted to get your thoughts on this before I offer my thoughts on this.
I don't know. I just thought it was a fun visual thing. It's, because how are they actually used in the film? Because they're introduced in a certain way, right? And then they just sort of pop up.
Waymond keeps putting googly eyes on things. And then, yeah, they just sort of pop up.
Yeah, well, I guess it's like, it's a symbol of his sort of childish nature that she comes to, you know.
Embrace.
Respond to. Embrace,
yeah. Because I assumed that it's because if you put googly eyes on things, you won't forget where you put them.
Right.
But that's never said in the film, and I wonder if it should have been.
Also, just
so people like you could understand what it means.
Well, there's like the googly eyes, you know, it's like a white circle with a black interior. And the bagel
is
a black circle with a white interior, the everything bagel, the center of the universe sort of thing. And so, and I think also, you know, the black and white and the circular motif is also, you know, yin and yang.
Yeah, right. Nice. We've been doing this podcast for 7 years, Richard, and for a lot of that time we've been doing Zoom calls. Not once have you ever positioned the webcam this way, and it's only on one of the very rare currently episodes that we've filmed that you've decided to do a pretty gaudy shot instead of just a regular head and shoulders.
When you say gaudy, what do you mean by that?
I don't think it looks very good.
Right, okay.
What do you think? Do you think it looks good? This you're we're the Daniels here, bro. You're directing, I'm directing.
Wait, so what? So it's like that, and then this, and then this again, and then this.
Yeah, that's good.
Someone make loss out of that.
Please.
Anyway, I will... Enough of the visual jokes.
Just, we got it with this. There is a visual component, but we do have to respect our audio listeners, you know. Alrighty, so, so
AJ,
we're going...
Which kissing booth character do you think you're most like?
I reckon I am most like, let's go, me struggling to remember kissing booth characters. Let's go her little brother. That feels like a relatively inoffensive one to pick. What do you think?
Well, based on what I find attractive in someone, which is personality.
Yeah.
And the word that describes me best, which is smart.
Okay.
And the most important thing for me, which is...
personality and smarts.
Something else. And the perfect present for a friend or soulmate would be an experience, not a thing. And I guess, you know, if I was to think about it, just all these things in my mind, which is why I'm going to arrive at the answer that I will tell you in a moment. But the ideal place for a first date, obviously, for me would be, you know, the arcade. And I guess, you know, if I'm looking for, if I'm choosing the kind of friends I want to have, I would say that I want funny ones.
Okay.
Now, I'm getting a little bit peckish describing these things to you. So before I give you the answer, I'm just going to quickly choose something to eat. I'm going to go with a pizza. And just for the fuck of it, I'll just choose a random picture.
Just for the fuck of it. I've never heard that before.
Have you never heard that?
Just for the fuck of it. That's great.
I feel like I say that all the time.
I've never heard it. Maybe it's one of these things you've never said on our Zoom calls, the only places we ever talk.
No, just for the fuck of it is great. Anyway, sorry, to answer your question, I would be Noah.
That sucks.
I would be...
I'm so sorry.
I am like the hot, caring Noah Flynn.
No.
I agree with that. You're confident, badass, and a total player.
That's
even
true.
Though you behave like that, deep down you have a lot of emotions and a caring heart, even if you don't want to accept it. People who don't fall at your feet attract you. Only those you love know the real you.
I don't think you are like Noah Flynn, but out of all the characters in the kissing booth, you are most like Noah Flynn. This is one of those things where you've just got to attach yourself to whatever, like, straight... Like I've been pondering over this question recently, which is, what do you think is the sexiest animal? And when I say this, what I mean is, obviously, other than humans, I don't want to have sex with any animals. But a worm is less sexy than a cheetah, for example, I think. So what do you think is, you know, obviously, it's at, if humans are like 100%, I want to have sex with humans, and the sexiest animal is like 0.001%. What is the 0.001%?
Well, so you do still want to have sex with them a little
bit. I guess 0.1% of me does. Yeah, but that was just to illustrate
That percentage is just shot right up.
Why?
From 0.0001%.
I was saving... Maps needs to stop being such a nerd and let people save time. Okay.
Right. Well, because you just multiplied it.
I get it. I get
like
you're very
thousand.
Good at maths, Richard. I was saving time in my oral presentation.
But is saving time really that important?
When it comes to emphasizing how little I want to have sex with an animal,
yeah.
You're probably right. But what do you think, though? What do you think is the sexiest animal that's not a human?
Well, I don't want to have sex with animals, AJ.
Oh my god, this is so boring, Richard. Just obviously that's the... You don't need to make the joke that AJ kind of wants to have sex with an animal. I'm already doing that for you. I'm already putting myself...
Having sex with an animal
I'm
for
already...
Me.
Stop it! This is such a less interesting part of this argument discussion. I'm just I'm already putting myself out there and being like, this is a weird thing to bring up.
You're
don't need to deepen
yourself
it.
Out there and getting rejected by animals.
Well... you know,
you're trying to have sex with them.
Every human rejected me, so I've moved on.
I would say that
yes,
probably humans.
You can't pick humans.
Why not? Well, I don't want to have sex with other animals.
This is so disappointing to me. This is like, we could have
that
a
I don't
fun...
want to, you're disappointed that I don't want to have sex with animals.
I am. We could have a fun discussion here about like, it's like when you play like Bang, Marry, Kill with abstract concepts. Like I'm talking like, because I feel like most, the worm versus cheetah analogy, I reckon a lot of people would be like, I know what you mean. So I'm just trying to take that to like its conclusion. What is the sexiest animal? Let us know in the comments. I have a feeling Richard's going to stand his ground on this subject, so I don't know if we're going to get any further. But my answer...
How funny would it be, though, if not a single one of our listeners engaged
even understood what I meant? Like, I reckon the answer... Do you want to know what I think? The sexiest animal? I reckon it's the dolphin.
Probably human.
Yeah.
After all that, you're like, yeah. A dolphin. Interesting.
I think the dolphins, like, if I had a gun to my head and someone said you have to use 2 million words to describe a dolphin, I reckon sexy would be the 2 millionth word. Just to emphasize how little I actually want to have
I think
sex.
You would say it long before that.
Well, I'm just trying to illustrate that it's not something I want. I'm just trying to order things, you know. It's
I think you would run out of words.
Hmm.
I don't think you know 2 million words.
Ah, this didn't have to get any more personal. You're
prove
already
it. Prove it.
Telling me. I've probably prove said it. 2 million words. I don't know. No.
Start listing words.
Sexy. Fuck. It's the first one I thought
sexy.
Of.
Sexy. Dolphin. Fuck.
All right, well, speaking of sexy,
dolphins
Richard...
Dolphins an interesting choice, though. I feel like dolphins are cuter than sexy.
Nah, but I guess, like...
But, see, there's...
I guess, to me, like, hairiness is quite common in other animals other than humans, which is something that I think I would struggle to get past. And so I'm going for the slender,
AJ,
slippery... Hairy. Yeah, but I... Yeah, but I'm not attracted to myself.
I don't think I'm sexy.
Yeah, I think I'm fucking ugly, Richard. So your point isn't valid.
What, like a minotaur.
So you're going fictional animals that are still
or a mermaid,
quite human. I think a lot of aquatic animals are going to be in the top echelon of the sexiest animals. Because they're slippery and slender and curvy, and I think that is more attractive to humans than something like, I don't know, a sheep, despite what bloody Australians would tell you about bloody New Zealanders.
So is this the sort of larger pop cultural conversation you wanted to open the episode with?
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, I was actually ready to move on when I saw you were not keen to have this conversation, but maybe you were because you kept bringing it back. But I guess I should never discount your desire to make me look like the worst motherfucker on the internet given the opportunity, and I gave you the opportunity, so I guess
you
in
did.
Some way this did deliver some content. I genuinely, if the question is,
I think this is going to be the new Mark Spector, but
fair enough. Let it rain, let it rule. If you're listening to this or watching this, let us know in the Discord. If the question is, what is the sexiest animal that isn't a human? I want to know what the answer is, and I want to know your reasoning. No judgments, free of judgments. Obviously, you don't actually want to have sex with these animals.
But yeah, also like keep in mind that you probably don't, you know, why would you want to have sex with an animal?
Correct. Because you're lonely? I don't know. The Kissing Booth. The Kissing Booth was a franchise we covered 3 weeks ago, Richard, and it is one of the worst franchises we've ever seen. And we asked,
no dolphins in it.
No, not a single dolphin in it. We asked the cult elders for some of their thoughts on the Kissing Booth episode, and we've got a few voice messages to go through. So if you want to open up, Kiss Me, I'm Vinny is the name of the email. We've got a whopping 9-minute takedown of the series. series from Vincent Lara, which we'll put in the episode, and you can watch, if you're watching, you can watch us react to this funny clip. Let me know when you have it open. We'll go 3, 2, 1 and click on the play sign. This is an improvement from the last episode where I just played you inaudible audio over my phone.
If this was 9 minutes of that... All right, I'm going to... Google needs to verify it's me. God, what's the password?
Alligator 2.
No, that's not right.
We can't say it because this is going out fairly unedited on the episode.
Okay, AJ, can you please tap? Oh, it's on my iPhone.
I've got it as well.
Okay, well, it says to tap it on Richard's iPhone. Don't ask again on this device. Yes, it's me. All right. Continue in a new Chrome profile. No, I don't need a new Chrome profile. I'm happy with this one.
Good stuff.
And now
should have prepared this ahead of time, but we are both determined to make Meeting of the Elders the most, like, the least work possible for an episode.
Okay, so, wait, Vincent.
Well, search Kiss Me, I'm Vinny. We've had a Patreon poll go up between when he sent the email. Yeah. So it's
Kiss Me, I'm Vinny. Here we go.
All right, let me know when you're on the play button.
Yep, just opening that up now. Cool, okay.
Ready?
Ready.
3, 2, 1, play.
Hello, you sexy boys.
I got Vince, there's a problem Marceau playing this audio file. Wait, stop it, stop it. I have to download it, apparently. Oh, that sucks. Why can't I just play it?
That's so funny. Mine played.
Well, stop it. Because I want to listen with you. Oh my god, it's 14 megabytes. It's so long. It's so big. Is there no way to just play this? This is bad. This is bad content. I've got it working. All right. Okay. Ready? Starting back at 000. Yes. 3, 2, 1, play.
Hello, you sexy boys. Vince Marcello here, ready to talk about the kissing booth.
Oh my God,
as a Hispanic man who went to public school in Southern California, I feel like I'm able to give some real insight into the lives of these privileged asshole kids. Fuck them and fuck their problems. It is insane to me that the loving relationship between Elle and Noah is start off with him telling her you were asking for it when she was wearing the short skirt. Unfucking believable. It also made me realize I've never had detention in high school. I don't know, maybe I was such a square that I never did anything bad to do so. One of the few things that I related to most in the franchise was them casually eating In-N-Out while discussing feelings about relationships. It's one of the few times I ever saw myself in this franchise. One piece of dialogue I think should have been discussed more is from Tuppen telling Elle, "No boobs are worth a broken nose." I argue some are worth it. I can think of a few right now off the top of my hand. I won't name names, because this will be on the internet forever, but I will argue some boobs are worth a broken nose.
Another part
I think is insane is the part where Elle does a little dance covered in paint inside the boys' locker room. At my high school, there were basically faculty members outside the locker rooms of everyone to make sure people went into the correct ones. There wasn't like a boy sneaking in the girls' locker room, a girl sneaking in the boys' locker room. So it must be nice going to a school filled with money and they don't care about such rules. More Shakespearean dialogue in the first film was, "Don't end up grinding coochies with my brother." Amazing. Why are you thinking about your brother's coochie? One part of me wishes that the first movie took place in 2017. That way, the scene where they do it under the Hollywood sign, watch it pan out and reveal it was the day that it was a Hollyweed sign in 2017. I thought that would have been amazing if they somehow make a cultural significance of her losing it the same day that it was the Hollyweed sign. It's amazing that Elle and Noah thought they were being super sneaky when in reality they were just doing it on every available service imaginable near them. Of course, Lee was going to walk in on them, you freaking hound dogs. Fucking leave room for Jesus. God. One thing that I was just laughing at was how at the prom there was a cover of Don't You Forget About Me, and it just made me think, God, do they want to link this to one of the best like teen movies of all time, The Breakfast Club, and be like, yeah, we're on the same caliber as them. This is The Breakfast Club for a new generation. Yeah, no. Fuck that. One thing I want to read you boys is it from a Kindle. So if you purchase a book via Kindle, there's this feature where as you're reading through a book, you can see through popular highlighted items that other readers have done in a piece of book. Usually I use this in terms of my textbooks. I buy the Kindle version, and as I read through a textbook, I see popular highlights. That usually means I see other students highlighting things that they're going to use on papers. That helps me find quotes to use in papers of mine. So I want to read you some popular highlights for the first Kissing Booth book. I couldn't find any other highlights for the rest of the books in the series, so the only ones that are available are three highlights from the first Kissing Booth. Highlight number one. Noah took stride forward and shut me up effectively by crushing his lips against mine. Highlight number two. Because I want that slow dance with you all by myself, he retorted. Shakespearean stuff. And highlight number three. Before I knew what I was doing, I went up and tiptoe and pressed my lips against Noah. The audiences of the Kindle version of the Kissing Booth number one, over 300 people found those quotes highlight worthy. Sensational. On to the second movie. Richard, the name of Elle and Lee's podcast, gaming podcast, is called Game On, and she later boasts about 37 subscribers that they have attained. As someone who has co-hosted a podcast that is pretty popular in Uruguay, eat shit, you fucking kids. One thing that really hit me with the introduction of Marco in the second movie is that how small representation there are of Hispanic people in this franchise. Like, yes, Southern California, not known for its huge Hispanic population, but here's this one guy, Dreamboat, Hispanic man with perfect abs, walking in because he's the ideal version of us. Please. I have better abs than Marco. I find it absolutely insane that Elle, just in the middle of the school year, randomly decides to try and go for Harvard. It is the most absurd aspect. Well, I shouldn't say most absurd. One of the most absurd parts of this narrative that you just randomly decide, I'm going to try for Harvard. When I saw that, I immediately thought of this one friend I had in high school who was a very good student, very good guy, just, you know, straight A's, model student guy. And he got up to the point where he got an interview from Harvard. A representative from Harvard came to Los Angeles and was interviewing a bunch of kids from the area. And he got an interview. Unfortunately, he didn't get in, which I was very shocked by. The dude was wicked smart, very good, you know, community wicked service kind of guy, very religious. That's how I met him, through a church group. And it astonished me that someone like him, who is seemed like the model type, didn't get in, whereas Elle, someone who defined herself by a man in an essay to Harvard, got in. Fun fact, I DM'd this friend and he hasn't gotten back to me about his experience. So Anthony, if you're listening to this, I hope you're okay, hope you're doing good, and I hope you're not a super religious guy anymore. You seem very uptight when I would go to church services with you. Hope you're doing okay. Hope you got some pussy. And L. Evans, I'm sorry. You're no L. Words from Legally Blonde. You can't just get into Harvard. Fuck off. Just want to read you guys the acceptance rates for the various schools mentioned in this franchise. So let's start off with UC Berkeley. Their acceptance rate as of 2020 is 15%. Harvard, their acceptance rate as of 2020, 5%. Now, in terms of being fair, I'll do the acceptance rate for my university. California State University, Northridge, acceptance rate, 51%. So, who am I to judge that I got into a university where it was at a flip of a coin that I was admitted? Now, spoilers for later in the franchise. Acceptance rate for USC, where Elle ultimately goes, 12.5%. So, fuck you and your privilege, Elle. You clearly got it based on money and ethnicity. Fuck you. Now, last and certainly least of the franchise, the third one. I just was done with all these people. Like, I wanted these annoying privilege fucks out of my life as soon as possible. My main thing about the third one is that just creating this narrative about how interested Elle is into video games now. She's helping her brother with Mario Kart and then manifest a live-action Mario Kart. She's still into Killer Instinct, which made brief cameos in the first two movies, and now she's really into it. One of the most forgotten fighting game franchise of all time. The last one was in 2013 and it was Xbox exclusive, and then ever since then the franchise has been dead and dormant. In a world of The Last of Us show highlighting a Mortal Kombat 2, don't be a Kissing Booth trilogy highlighting a Killer Instinct. It'll do nothing for that franchise. I was really annoyed that Molly Ringwald didn't sell the house. Fuck
she
off.
Can't sell the house.
You white privileged people and your problems. Fuck these people. And also, how the fuck did Lee get the Dance Dance Revolution machine? And why give it to Elle, someone who is immediately moving away from their home so that I'm gonna play it? I mean, sure, she's going to school at USC, so she probably goes home on the weekends, but still, just she's never going to get as much use of that machine as she should have for the price he probably paid for it. And I also laughed at you guys mentioning how they were doing a Harry Potter-esque epilogue of all the characters, as if I care enough for these people to see, oh, and all was well at the end. No. Fuck these guys and their toxic relationships. This movie's hot garbage. Thank you for making a great episode on it. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Vinny. Right,
thank you, Vinny. I made some notes during that.
Let's hear them.
First of all, go Matadors.
Okay.
That'll make sense to Vinny.
Okay.
UC, the University of California State Northridge. Go Matadors.
All right.
One thing that, yeah, I'm surprised it didn't actually come up in the episode, that, yeah, this is our second franchise where a character named Al, who, by all accounts, shouldn't apply for Harvard, does apply for Harvard, and, yeah, it's hard?
Yeah, right, it's legally blonde, yeah, true.
Yeah.
But
there is a dog going fucking nuts outside, but it's too hot.
We leave it all in. Mm. Yeah, no, that's a great point. I'm glad that Vinny also brought up Molly Ringwald not selling the beach house, or just all these wonderful memories of this franchise that I'd erased almost entirely from my memory. Do you have any other notes?
Yeah, what boobs do you think would be worth a broken nose?
Richard, I don't want to be controversial here, but I think anyone's boobs, if they're of adults, are worth breaking a nose for, because everyone.
Well, I have boobs, AJ. Would you break your nose for me?
I would. I would.
He mentioned feeling seen when there's a scene of them watching her just eating In-N-Out, and I've actually eaten In-N-Out burger with Vinny.
Wow. Do you feel seen in Vinny mentioning
I feel seen
it.
Him talking about it.
Yeah, right.
When I went on my little jaunt to the States last year, I caught up with Vincent when I was in California. And yeah, at one point we just got in our rental car, I think, and we stopped at In-N-Out Burger, and I found out it's overrated. It's
not wow! Don't let America hear you say that.
Yeah. So because I the first food I had in America was Shake Shack, and I tell you what, Shake Shack is fucking incredible. Like one of the best burgers I've ever had. But then it was like, oh, we need to try In-N-Out. There was a place near where we were staying in Hollywood, and we're like, we need to remember to go to the In-N-Out. We didn't. We ended up getting quite a sore tummy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He's for most of the trip. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it was as we were sort of leaving Vinny, we stopped at In-N-Out. And, yeah, I was like, you know, this isn't as good as Shake Shack. And he was like, yeah, it's not. Like, everyone just likes it because it's the fastest.
Mm.
And I didn't realize that. But, like, I mean, In-N-Out's reputation has made it back to New Zealand. It's like famous thing. And all their secret menu items are legendary. But, yeah, no, they just...
I think I had Shake Shack in London. I can't remember if it was Shake Shack or Five Guys.
Five Guys is where you, like, build your own burger.
Okay, it was Shake Shack then. And I got a shake, and it was like $40 New Zealand for a combo. Yeah.
My last thing in reverse order from what he talked about is, did you ever get detention, AJ?
I'm glad you wrote this down. No, I never had the detention where you go to a room after school. I had take-home detentions, we called them, which were you get given an essay and you have to write out that essay and hand it in the next day.
What did you get it for?
I got dozens over the years.
Oh, right.
Just talking in class.
What sort of things earn you them?
Yeah, just talking in class or being disruptive or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think we called it detention, but I had one thing. So it was like... If you got it, and so there'd be six periods in a day, two then interval, two then lunch, then two then the end of the day. And depending on when you got your one, you would like do it. So you do it at the end of period two, four, or six sort of thing for an extended amount of time. And or I think you'd do it for like a period plus into that break. So
yeah,
it was weird. Anyway, I only ever got it once. It was from Miss Wilmot, who was the only person in my who gave anyone in my class, because I was in the top class, and she gave I think three people in our class, including me, detention across the whole of the 5 years of high school. And so, you know, I was talking in class or whatever, and I remember I was sitting sideways on my chair, so like I was up against the wall and I was sitting so that I was like, you know, I was just doing my work. She was doing something on the other side of the room, and then she snapped, turned around and said, "I saw that, Richard." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Don't talk back to me. Get out right now." And made me stand outside for like 15 minutes and then came back in and came out, and I was just assumed she was going to be like, "Oh, you know, you've learned your lesson." But then she gave me this, like, the pink slip or whatever it was, and then sent me off to detention.
You got a car.
And gave me, yeah, and so I think that was in period five, so then I had to spend all of period six, and then, like, 20 or 30 minutes at the end of the day as well in detention. And it was this thing of, like, "All right, have you learned your lesson?" And it's like, "Well, I didn't do anything, so no."
Did you not find out what she thought you did? Do you have any idea?
No.
Man, I would be so determined to get to the bottom of that mystery.
It's been 15 years or so now.
Yeah.
But no, like, she was one of these people that was like, yeah, she had quite severe anger issues and would be set off by very minimal things. I do remember my friend Josh got detention, though, one time, because... It's from her when she said he was being silly or something like that, and then she got real mad at him. She was like fucking writing him a lesson, and she said something like, "Oh, was it that time of day? Is it, Josh?" And he was like, "Oh, is that time of the month, Miss?"
No.
And then she was like, "Get the fuck out."
If that happened to me, Richard, I would say to this teacher, I was like, "Listen, I'll take the detention. I need to know what you thought I did, because I am I'm not even saying I didn't do it. I genuinely need to know what you thought I did, because I am honestly bewildered by this."
It's fun, like, so I was filming at the teachers in New Zealand strike the other day.
And she was
there? I was thinking about it. Huh?
And yes, she was there?
I was thinking about teachers, because, you know, obviously we like support teachers, and people saying that it's like, you know, everyone's got a teacher who changed their life, blah blah blah, like everyone's felt so inspired by a teacher. I there's a couple of teachers that I have like good fond memories of, but an injustice by a teacher infuriates me in a way of like nothing else. Because
an injustice by a teacher is worse than a teacher changing your life for the better.
Well, no, I'm just saying that it's like,
as in, like, it's more bad than a teacher being good is good.
Yeah, well, I have more examples teachers that have, but it's because it is like a prison warden, essentially, that it's whatever they say, it doesn't matter how wrong they are, it doesn't matter anything, they can just punish you for it. It doesn't matter how unfair they're being, none of this. It's like, well, what are you going to do? You are a child. I mean, I guess it's different now because children are considered special these days. But like...
Are they?
Yes. I remember getting yelled at by teachers on the first day.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is like to this day. And this is one of those things that it's like, I vow to like never get upset with my children for this. Is the idea of don't talk back to me. People like, I remember getting yelled at by a teacher... I can't remember what the initial thing was, but she said, don't talk back. And I said, I'm not. You asked me a question. And she said, you're still talking back. And I said, and I was like, well, no, like, this isn't talking back. We're having a discussion. And she fucking flipped it. Like, one of these things where it's like, I guess she wanted to make a power play on the first day to show that she's not to be messed with. But I was just like, man, what an insecure person.
A teacher in primary school said something to me and I didn't hear him. And I said, what? And he was like, don't say what. Like, it's so rude. And he pulled me up and he was like, what should you say instead of what? And I was like, pardon? And he was like, no, you should answer my question. And I was like, I didn't hear your question.
And he said, don't talk back to me. Oh, yeah. But like, it is also weird though that, so I filmed a thing with the teachers all preparing for the strike. And so it was this room of like, you know, 10, 15 people, was this sort of union of teachers, and they were making their signs and everything. And I was like, I'm 30 years old. I'm the oldest person in this room, which is crazy because these people were like, you know, adults. Like, and yeah, they, when you realize it's like, oh, I was being taught by like 26 year olds.
I was being taught by people that were like less mature than I am now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's
scary. Yeah, just to have that sort, that's that power struggle with a child where you feel like you have to assert your dominance over them. Of course, there was a time where a teacher physically assaulted me as well and then threatened me to keep my mouth shut. So.
Have you told the story? I think you've told the story on pod.
Probably.
Well, we probably should move to the next...
People wonder why I have issues with authority.
On the Discord, we also got a message about the kissing booth from Cheese, who said, fuck these movies, I'll never watch them. Very good. And Richard, before we head over to the Oscars conversation, of which there is very little, I did just remember we had a couple of Scooby-Doo messages that we let slip through our fingers. So on Patreon, Josh Cole says, I'm the Marge. I just think they are neat about everything Scooby-Doo, except Scoob. Fuck Scoob. Very good. Agreed, Josh. And we got a big comment from someone named Hayden on Patreon as well about Scooby-Doo that I'll read out now. Hayden says, I was 9 when the 2002 live-action movie came out and saw it in cinemas. Absolutely loved it. The gags were... Oh, there you go. Hayden will be the same age as you. How does that feel? The gags were hilarious and the CGI monsters terrifying. Recently rewatched it while waiting in the hospital for a sports injury and it was the perfect mood booster. Sure, the effects are terrible, but the 2000...
Waiting for a sports injury? Like,
Waiting in the hospital for a sports injury, yeah.
Yeah, like they're in the hospital, like, we'll be back to injure you in just a moment. Like, fuck, I really need that tennis elbow. Yeah, I'm going to get out of here.
I'm sure the effects are terrible, but the 2000-ness of it all adds to the experience. As an Australian, yes, I have been on the movie world ride a few times. It's great. The actual roller coaster bit is thrilling and perfect, perfect if you don't like big drops. Some of the ride relies on a dodgy projection of the monsters, and this looks much worse than the film. Worst thing about the ride is the line. It's the best to do when the park is quiet. Also saw the sequel in cinemas and didn't really like it. I think I found it too silly, which is probably more a reflection of me at the time. More recently, I kind of watched Scooby-Doo and Batman. I say kind of because we put it on for a movie night with friends and found it so boring. That's what Hayden thinks about Scooby-Doo. Yeah, so we also asked people to let us know their thoughts on the Oscars, and we only really got one reply, which was from Cheese, who said, "I'm glad Everything Everywhere All at Once won as much as it did. It deserved it. I think Kimmel was fine. Puss in Boots 2 was robbed." What are your thoughts on Cheese's thoughts on the Oscars?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that Kimmel, like, I mean, I think I said this on this episode, that it's like, he's fine. We don't need to pretend that, you know, like, yeah, he gets the job done.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And we've got a, let's move on to The Purge now, and I'll read Cheese's message for The Purge as well, who says, "I've never watched these and probably won't. I think the video game is a perfect idea." So there you go, Rich. We're off pod, we've discussed your continue the franchise for The Purge, which is not something we often do, but we've talked about, you know, spitballed ideas for it. And now what we've got three messages left, Richard. Two are voice messages from Dan about what is thoughts on Kissing Booth? I've missed one. Oh, okay. This
Kissing
is...
Booth, Oscars, Purge.
Oh, sorry. It's one message. Okay. No, this is much better. So we have a voice message from Dan about all three franchises, and then we have what looks to be a rap by Bliss My Dog for all three podcasts as well. So let's play this video message first, this voice message first from Dan. Have you got it open?
I do. This one's a very reasonable 2 minutes long.
All right, let's play it in 3, 2, 1, play.
This is Dan from Hawaii.
Are you fucking serious?
Calling in again.
Wait, I think Vincent sent in another message, didn't he? As well, for The Purge. I'm on Vincent's one. Okay. Where is Dan's
dumb
one?
Frick.
Where is... I'm doing Control Shift T, Richard, to open up the
recently shut tab.
Yep. Yes. No, this is the right one. Okay, ready to play on Dan? 3, 2, 1, play.
This is Dan from Hawaii calling in again to comment on Kissing Booth. And I just want to say one thing. I want to make sure you address this, because I was shocked that y'all learned of Wattpad in 2023 for the first time. I mean, I understand it's not exactly the demographic for men in their late 20s, early 30s to know about Wattpad, but I don't know. It feels like a weird oversight to me. Just very funny to see everyone on the Culpopter Discord learn about Wattpad. The other comments I have is that I think Kimmel was just so bleh. I mean, he can't be worse than Seth MacFarlane. I know Richard and Adrian are going to take y'all going to take umbrage to what I just said, but
not at all.
Yeah, Kimmel was like a dry, plain version of that, like, just toothless, which is what they needed, I guess. But it just was disappointing. I wanted something a little bit more fun. It was just like, here is a safe joke. Here's another safe joke. And the most insulting thing, I think you discussed this, was when they cut off one of the accepting speeches so they could provide more time for the extremely lame and drawn-out Cocaine Bear segments. That was just insulting. My friend and I, in unison, said the words, "You cut him off for that?" Because it was just plain awful. As for The Purge, I haven't seen The Purge yet. I am intensely interested in just watching the Anarchy one. And I hear the TV show is pretty interesting. Looking forward to Hannibal. And aloha means hello and goodbye.
Very nice.
I've never heard Dan's accent more strongly than when he said, "You cut him off for that."
The Wattpad thing, I definitely heard the word Wattpad, but I just didn't know what it was.
I had never heard the word Wattpad. There's AO3, is that one?
That people comment that on my TikTok. I think it's something to do with like sexy fanfic. I don't get it.
Yeah, so it's interesting because it's funny that like Dan's saying like, "Oh, it's, you know, it's so weird having everyone learn about it." And it's like, well, if everyone learnt about it then, it's not that weird then, is it?
And our little echo chamber.
I think there is just, I don't know, yeah, people, and this comes up a lot in our fan base, is this idea that, yeah, people have lived different life experiences from you, and there's a lot of, especially, you know, when people are talking directly to people who live on the other side of the world from them, you know, I would just say, you know.
Yeah, Dan, but you haven't heard of Alan P, but you haven't heard of Buzzy Bees. And if you go, I've heard of Buzzy Bees, it's like, no, you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I bet you don't know what a foursquare is, Dan.
Yeah.
These are all things you can get printed on your Kiwiana FBOS card design. But come back to me when you've heard about pineapple lumps.
Like the idea that, have you been following this pineapple lump scandal?
Richard, we do not have time for another distraction. We're trying to be under an hour on this thing. How long is Vincent's message?
You don't want to know the pineapple lump scandal.
I want to know. I want to spend hours on it. What is it? Tell me.
So pineapple lumps, for those international listeners, are like a quintessential New Zealand candy. So they're these sort of like a little bit more tough than a marshmallow, but very similar to a marshmallow. Pineapple flavored, coated in chocolate, and they're mass produced by Pascal's, I think. And there was I can't remember the name of the company, but a more sort of artisanal company that was like, oh, these are handmade, you know, pineapple treats sort of thing. They're artisanal versions of pineapple lumps. They're like, they're handcrafted with the best chocolate. It was discovered, found out, I believe, it started on TikTok and then One News continued it, that they just buy pineapple lumps and coat them in their own chocolate.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. That is fucked up. Richard, we've got it. How long is the second message from Vincent about the perch? Do we know?
All right, let's have a look.
It's called Perger. I hardly know her.
All right, let's have a look. This is what's Vinny got for us this time. let's get this one's 2 minutes.
So. Okay, you ready to play it?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, play.
Hey, Sussy Bakas, what's up? So
mine didn't
I've
play.
Never seen any of the.
All right, I'm starting
movies again.
Why?
Because I can't play it. It's not playing.
Are you fucking serious?
Okay, I'm ready. 3, 2, 1, play.
Hey, Sussy Bakas, what's up? So I've never seen any of the Purge movies. They never really appealed to me. My only real memory is that I was still in high school when the first one came out, so it was all this like word of mouth. Oh, you gotta see, it's so freaking cool. And I just looked up the trailer. I'm like, doesn't really look like my type of thing. So I never really got into it, but I do know of the aesthetic of, like, you know, the LED mask, the messed up, you know, US propaganda imagery of it all. And I thought, yeah, this seems like a low budget thing that would go on for a little while. One of the main things I've thought about is, like, what I would do if given the opportunity to participate in a purge. And out of all the things, you know, downloading a car, threatening someone for free healthcare during purge night, I think one thing I would try to do is, like, find the household of like an old bully of mine and just take a shit on their lawn or something like that. I can't think of me doing anything else because I would be scared that someone else would murder me if I like tried to rob a bank or like try to steal something very valuable. So I do find it hilarious how that one director would gladly show the first Purge movie to aliens if they ever visited. You're a freaking idiot if you think that would help our case of, like, why you shouldn't, like, invade us or conquer us. But I started to think, what would be some movies I would want to show aliens if they ever came to us? So the first ones off the top of my head would be Your Name, Encino Man, End of Evangelion, and Creed 3. That would be the mini movie marathon I would give to aliens if they ever invaded us, because I think that would show various aspects of our society, whether it be our dedication to unfreezing cavemen, our dedication to finding a long-lost love, our dedication to dumb anime bullshit, and Creed 3 is fucking awesome. I love it. Anyways, thank you for listening.
That's a good talking point. What movies would you show to aliens?
I wouldn't show them Evangelion. I think that would confuse them.
Probably scare them. Yeah.
I don't think I have a particularly interesting answer, but maybe It's a Wonderful Life, like something like about the triumph of the human spirit, that sort of thing. I don't know, Rocky. Rocky would be a better one than Creed 3, I think, to show to an alien.
Mm.
Creed 3, I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds like it needs a lot more context.
No, it's kind of like a sort of starts the franchise again a little bit. Mm. I would show them the Zapruder film.
Is that the JFK assassination film?
Yeah.
I'd show them images of 9/11. Yeah, that's what I
would. Yeah.
Wow, we've got one. Why don't we end on this, Richard? This is going to be our last correspondence. This is a email from Bliss My Dog called Bliss My Dog's Groovy Slam Poetry Cult Elders Cringe. This is what Cult Elders is all about. This should be a selling point to those listening or watching, that these episodes are your chance to get us to say whatever you want us to say. You know, like, you can make us do a rap. Let's do it.
You can make us say something stupid like we want to fuck a dolphin.
Yeah, that's my excuse. That's why that came up. Bliss says, can you alternate reading lines like some sort of rap battle, thanks, and says, hey, these are my thoughts on the Oscars. They were really kind of boss sirs. All right, do you want to take the first or second lines?
You go first.
All right. You would have to be a dunce to not vie for everything yada 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 at once.
The acting awards were not dumb, Jack, just about all of them with some kind of comeback.
Did you mention the Little Mermaid trailer in the middle of the ceremony? Not gonna lie, it felt like a total phony.
The kissing booth, more like the missing tooth.
Let me just say, I wanted to read it. I went to the library, but the results I wanted, I did not heed it.
I wanted to compare and contrast the book and the movie. I thought maybe it would be kind of groovy.
But nope. Anyways, the Pope.
Moving on, let's discuss The Purge. The movies made me want to make my younger self with my younger self merge.
And by that, I think the conceit of the films is the opposite of neat.
I haven't seen them, but the idea people would want to start committing crimes for the rest of the year if they have a single free day to do whatever is completely idiotic. I don't care how the film's hand-waved, this contrived. Heathenistic. Ian's word of the year. Plot point away, but there ain't no possible way that it's even remotely possible. Flawed conceptually and dumb. Blah, 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 blah. I'm typing this on my phone, out my thumb.
P.S. What would The Purge be like in the Scooby-Doo-Doo Shoo-Wop Shabop universe? Also, what would Twilight be like if Bella and Edward met at a kissing booth?
Make sure to watch your tone, sent from my iPhone, dude.
Clicks fingers, snaps fingers. Nice. This interestingly, this rap has an example of my least favorite type of joke, which is he couldn't think of a rhyme. Bliss says, but nope, anyways, the Pope. The Pope is mentioned for no reason. And what it reminds me of, Richard, is actually, say if someone were to say a word in which a semi-famous character shared a surname with, and you were just to randomly say, like, let's
like
say,
saying, like, Paul Mezcal.
Yeah, no, why?
That's a good joke.
If someone said Mezcal, I'd be like, yeah, cool, we're talking about Paul Mezcal. But if someone just said Spectre, as in talking about a ghost, and then someone said Mark Spectre, a character from a show everyone's forgotten about, then I don't know, I don't like it.
I think that's funny. Also, Ian.
Mm.
Did you not, like, read this in your head as you were writing it or anything?
Mm.
The meter is all over the place.
Bliss says, what would The Purge be like in Scooby-Doo universe? I guess that the Scooby-Doo gang would get a night off because they don't need to arrest anyone. They don't need to pull off any masks.
Maybe because we talked about how, like, you know, we want to see the day after The Purge.
Mm.
And... yeah, maybe it's the Scooby-Doo gang solving mysteries.
And lastly, what would Twilight be like if Bella and Edward met at a kissing booth? I don't think Bella would sign up for the... I don't think she would go to the fundraiser.
I think that...
Neither would Edward, actually.
No, I think they're very similar characters. Probably based on... Kissing Booth's probably based on...
Yeah, but Bella's not somewhat. Bella's no nothing like Al. Al is very, like, outgoing and...
Al's sexy.
And Bella is, like, wants to stay in her room
Al's
all the time.
Sexy like a dolphin, and...
She was sexy like a dolphin. That is our Cult Elders episode, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. If you liked it, then please consider following us on Instagram and Twitter at Cult Popsha, and joining the Discord where you can get involved with this sort of stuff, and of course the Patreon, where not only can you give us stuff to play on these Cult Elders episodes, but you can also contribute to the post credit scene, which is coming up right after this music ends. Richard, it's been a pleasure. Meeting adjourned. Welcome along to the post-credit scene. This is a segment at the end of each episode where if you donate $5 or more over at patreon.com/coldpopsha, you get to give us something to talk about in this, the post-credit scene. Richard, who's it from and what is it?
Sam Page says, what are the most famous films that no one realizes are part of a franchise? I would say that the answer to this is going to be ones that people don't realize have sequels, you know?
Yeah. 2001 A Space Odyssey has a sequel.
Yeah, that's a good one. A Chinatown.
Yeah, Chinatown. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think if
there are any that are a sequel that people might not realize are a sequel.
Right. Well, when we did It's a Wonderful Life for the Cult Popsha Movie Club, we found out that it has like a really shitty like 1980s sequel or spin-off that focuses on the angel.
Co-produced by TVNZ.
That's right.
Yeah.
What on earth?
It was called Clarence, I think, with Robert Carradine. Or
yes.
The Carradine from Revenge of the Nerds, yeah.
Yes.
Whichever one that was. Movies you didn't realize were sequels.
Mm.
Silence of the Lambs is
we'll talk about this next week. And I haven't seen it, but is Manhunter not... Is it not that Silence of the Lambs is like a reboot? Or like a...
Yeah, it's like an adaptation of the book that's a sequel to.
I don't think... Because everyone... we'll talk about it next week, but I don't think... I think Silence of the Lambs is the first in the series. It's just Manhunter is technically a Hannibal film, so we're watching it.
Mm. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Yeah, that's a good example. What any other examples you can think of?
What else?
This literally came up in my brain the other day because I saw a movie and was like, huh, that is a sequel. I bet no one knows about that sequel. I can't remember what it is.
Well, maybe it can come up in the next Cult Elders episode in a month's time.
That's a good point. See you later, everybody. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.